Now, I don't know you, so I'm taking a bit of a risk because I hope you're up for a little quiz this morning. Look nervous. It's all right. It's very simple. First question, nice and simple. What is the opposite of black? White. Fair enough. Black is the absence of any colour at all, while white is all the colours of the rainbow mixed together. You ever done that thing where you get a little cardboard disc and you colour it in into segments, one bit for each of the colours of the rainbow, and then you spin it? If you spin it fast enough and you've got the proportions of the colours exactly right, then it's white. Most of the time it looks like a murky grey, but if it's done in a scientific manner, and it's not just you and a pencil crayon or something, it does come as white. So what about the opposite of high? Anyone give me the opposite of high? Low. Low, thank you. So today is called Low Sunday. Those who only come to church on high days and holidays, they're not here today. Vicars are on holiday, hence I'm here. And my wife, who's also a priest, is at another church covering because the vicar there is on holiday too. Congregations are usually pretty pared down on Low Sunday, certainly compared with Easter Day. Last Sunday was the high of Easter. And today is Low Sunday. Today we just have the faithful remnant here. There's a pretty good biblical precedent for the faithful remnant. So just one more question for you. Just one more opposite. What is the opposite of faith? Faithless, I suppose it is. Most people say in answer to that question, what's the opposite of faith, is doubt. Do you have faith or do you doubt? But I would disagree with them, because I think the opposite of faith is certainty. We who are here on Low Sunday have faith. And our creeds say, and we'll say a creed later, the creeds say, we believe, or I believe, depending on which creed we use. There's the baptismal creed, there's the apostles' creed, there's the Nicene creed. You can even have, if you want it, the Athanasian creed one Sunday. I wouldn't recommend it. It's at least 3 pages long. But they all believe, all begin with the word believe. Our faith is about belief. It's not about certainty. Now, some people find that hard to grasp. I remember preaching to one of my congregations many years ago about doubt. And they found it really difficult. Particularly when I said that there were times when I had doubts. How can the vicar have doubts, they said. But doubt and faith go together. By definition, when we say we believe, we are saying we are not certain. We do not know with absolute certainty, which is probably a good thing. I wonder if you know anybody who is convinced that they are right. I don't mean about God, I mean about anything or about everything. You know, they are always right. You know anyone like that who is always right? And there's no question about it. They are right. You are wrong. Such people are usually pretty difficult to get on with. Their certainty destroys any possibility of discussion or of sharing opinions. And when we are like that, when we insist that we are right and everyone else around us is wrong, I'm afraid we're not at our best. And people are likely to want to steer clear of us. So with our faith, it is good to accept that we believe, and that sometimes involves having some doubts. When a scientist makes a new discovery, they will say that this is what I now understand. But there will be a caveat, a let-out clause, which they might not say out loud, but which they know in their hearts. And that is that at some time in the future, a new discovery might be made, and it will mean that understanding will have to be adapted again. And so it is with our faith. If we regard it as a certainty, then we will stop looking to learn anything new. We won't need to, because we'll know that we're right. We'll be fixed like a stone, and there'll be no life in us. But if we acknowledge that our faith is a matter of belief, which has doubt as an element within it, then we will keep on looking. We will keep on seeking. We will have the chance to keep on learning and growing. In this morning's gospel, Thomas has shown us that he had doubts. And that means that he too could keep on growing and keep on learning. It's very easy for us to forget, or indeed to be unable to understand, how Christ's resurrection was so astounding, so unbelievable for the first disciples. We've had nearly 2,000 years of people knowing about this. So we've had a considerable chance to accommodate that idea in our minds and our hearts. But for Thomas, and for all of his companions, this was new. It's hardly surprising that they had doubts, that they had questions. And so, even with 2,000 years of assimilating this knowledge, we too still have questions and doubts. So let's just look at Jesus' response to those doubts. We all remember that Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side." But do we also remember that Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit"? For it is the gift of the Holy Spirit, a gift for the first disciples and a gift for us, which enabled them and enabled us to keep on learning, to keep on growing. Jesus didn't pass on a hefty book of rules of life. or a set of fixed certainties for us to accept. But rather, he gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us in our lives, to show us the way to live. A fixed set of rules would never be able to guide us in an ever-changing world and ever-changing circumstances. Instead, we are invited to put out our hands and to feel the wound in Christ's side, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, to walk with Christ in the knowledge that he is always with us, and that if we are open, then there will be new things for us to discover, new ways to understand God's love, and new ways for us to share that love with the world. And if you think that I'm the only one who thinks that doubt is part of our faith, let me just finish with some words from the late Pope Francis. He said, "Christian doctrine is not a closed system incapable of generating questions, doubts, interrogatives, but is alive, knows being unsettled, enlivened." And then he went on to say, "Christian doctrine has a face that is not rigid. It has a body that moves and grows. It has soft flesh. It is called Jesus Christ." Amen.